the UN Special Coordinator on improving the UN response to sexual exploitation and abuse, Christian Saunders, and victims' rights advocate Nesla Nasib Palmer are visiting South Sudan. They are accompanied by a delegation of judges of the UN Internal Justice System who are responsible for ensuring justice and accountability for UN staff for disciplinary issues, including sexual exploitation and abuse. Mr. Saunders and Ms. Palmer are joining us now to tell us more about the purpose and outcomes of their visit. I can start with asking you, each of you, to explain a little about your respective roles, starting with Mr. Saunders first and then Ms. Nasib Palmer.
Thank you, Lokori, and I'm very happy to be back in South Sudan, and we've received a very warm welcome wherever we have been. My role as the Special Coordinator for Improving the UN's Response to Sexual Exploitation and Abuse is to ensure that the UN system, so it's a system-wide mandate, the UN system and our implementing partners, and by implementing partners, I mean international NGOs, national NGOs, the government, commercial contractors, that they ensure that they have the necessary measures in place to prevent and respond to sexual exploitation and abuse. And this is the second time I have been in South Sudan. I was here about a year ago.
Ms. Palmer?
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I am the new victims' rights advocate. I'm new at the UN, and I'm very happy because this is my first mission. I am working very in close collaboration with the USD Saunders, and it's a great opportunity to assess the situation on the ground in this my very first mission. And my role is to elevate the rights and the dignity of the victims of sexual exploitation and abuse, and to ensure that they will have a voice, assistance, and justice. And be here, it's a singular opportunity to know more about their needs and how can we work to protect them and to ensure that their rights will be respected.
Thank you very much. And we come to Mr. Saunders. This is your second time to South Sudan as Special Coordinator. What were the main goals for this visit?
Thank you for the question, Lokori. The goals were really threefold. The first goal was to, the problem with sexual exploitation and abuse is until society fixes the underlying issues, gender equality, poverty, rule of law, ensuring that women have economic independence, ensuring that women are in meaningful decision-making roles and the like, the likelihood is that sexual exploitation and abuse will continue. Sexual violence has existed for thousands of years. It is present in every country in the world. And therefore, as the United Nations is a microcosm of society, it's likely that you will find it in the United Nations. It has no business in our society. It has no business in the United Nations. And we need to do everything that we can to eliminate it. And where we do have instances of sexual exploitation and abuse, that we respond robustly and that we understand that we have an accountability to the victims and survivors, and that we meet, as ASG Nasib Palmer said, that we meet their needs for assistance and ensure that their rights are protected. So I came back to South Sudan to see how we were doing, because we don't yet have a sustainable way of addressing sexual exploitation and abuse. And the gains, and I would say there's been limited gains that we have had in this area, and that those gains are fragile, are in most instances being driven by individuals, individual leaders who are committed to this issue, and PSEA coordinators, which are interagency coordinators, and the senior victims' rights officers in different countries. So it was an opportunity for me to come and see how we're doing in South Sudan. The second reason was to introduce the new victims' rights advocate, Ms. Nasib Palmer. And the third reason was to accompany the UN Dispute Tribunal judges to a complex field mission where there are many challenges, because here you have conflict, You have IDPs and refugees. You have more than 650,000 returnees and refugees since the war in Sudan began. You have internally displaced people in IDP camps and POCs. And you have difficulties in terms of climate. And, for example, the flooding around Unity State makes it very, very challenging. It's essential in this day and age, in this modern world, to have an effective and independent justice system. And that includes the UN. And to have an effective and independent justice system and to make the best possible decisions on behalf of staff members, the judges need to be informed. And it's very important that they understand the context of people working and living in a complex situation like South Sudan. So it was really to give them a better understanding of the United Nations work and how our staff live and work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Saunders, for that response. Ms. Palmer, during this visit, what were your impressions of the general situation relating to sexual violence and sexual exploitation and abuse in South Sudan?
Thank you for this important question. Well, I see vulnerability. And sexual exploitation and abuse is in the context of gender-based violence. And what I see here, this vulnerability is also taking place because there is conflict, poverty, lack of education, economic crisis, displacement, climate changes. And we have a higher risk of these situations that these wrongs can occur. But I would like to say that I also could realize the strength and the courage of these victims, and we are here to support them.
Okay. During your previous visit, you mentioned one of the main challenges is the lack of reporting sexual exploitation and abuse in South Sudan due to stigma, cultural and other reasons. Have you seen any improvement in the situation, and what more can be done in this regard?
I think the same issues exist today. These are cultural issues. These are cultural issues that are not unique to South Sudan. We need to work very, very closely with the local community to gain their trust, to explain their rights in terms of assistance. After all, we're here to assist them. And to ensure that they report, they will need to be convinced that we're going to do something about it, that we're going to keep their complaints confidential and that they will be protected, that victims will get the assistance they need, and if they wish to proceed through a legal channel, that we will support them in this. I think part of the problem is that the UN's legal process takes quite a long time. The investigations take a long time. The post-investigation process takes a long time. And they can get much quicker justice through the customary courts. So most often they revert to the customary courts in order to settle these issues. But unfortunately, when they go through the customary courts, because of tradition, it's not the victim or the survivor who benefits. It's the father, it's the family. And that's not right. We have an obligation to an accountability to the victim and survivor to try and make them whole as a result of what they've experienced. But we need to gain that trust from the community. We work very closely with the community. The different UN agencies and the implementing partners work very closely with the community. The conduct and discipline team works very closely with the community to try and build that trust and to put in place the necessary mechanisms to enable community to report these types of incidents.
Thank you very much for that. In your opinion, what kind of support is most needed for victims, and what could we do in South Sudan to make sure survivors get the help they need to rebuild their lives? Ms. Palmer.
Thank you. Needs of the victims must be assessed in individual basis. But they have immediate needs like food, medical support, psychological support, clothes, safe shelter. But victims of sexual exploitation and abuse also have specific needs, especially when there is a children born of this wrong. So the legal assistance is, we need a legal specialized assistance, because the perpetrator sometimes is not in the country anymore. And so to address paternity claims, or even to have documents, a birth certificate for this child, is an additional challenge for these victims. And I think that also they have, because of the children born of a sexual exploitation and abuse, sometimes the period, the time of the assistance will be much more longer, and it is a challenge too. But what I think that it's most important is that they can sustain themselves, so they could be they could feel stronger to sustain themselves and their kids, and that's maybe the most important challenge, and we should invest more in projects like this.
To add to what ASG Nassif Palmer said, I think two points. We rely very heavily on existing services being provided, the gender-based violence services around the country. And there are never enough resources to provide the appropriate level and the types of gender-based violence services around the country. So in some areas, these services, frankly, are just not available. So we need to work to increase gender-based violence services, to ensure that services, that funding is there so that services can be provided all over the country. Secondly, we provide support, livelihood support, to enable the victims to be able to help rebuild their lives after they've had this experience. As I said in response to the opening question, I think economic independence for women is an important part of the solution. And we, through projects funded through the UN's Trust Fund, we teach them skills. And these skills, in consultation with the victims, we teach them skills. And these skills hopefully will help them to support themselves and their families going forward. I think we need to do, having observed the projects, I think we need to, or we could improve the way we do these projects, including giving the victims training in financial management. We could look at the supply chain. We could look for better avenues where they can sell the things that they make in order to help with their economic independence. So I think this is something that we're relatively new at, and I think we have learned a lot. We've learned a lot from South Sudan, and I think we will go away knowing that we need to be better in this area.
Thank you. And turning back to you, Mr. Sandra, again, you visited Bentiu along with Ms. Nassif Palmer and delegation of judges of the UN Internal Justice System. Can you describe the situation there and what are the main challenges for victims of sexual exploitation and abuse?
Thank you. Bentiu is a challenging place because even though we've had the dry season, there is still a lot of water on the ground, and it has not seeped away. We have the rainy season coming up, and also the level of Lake Victoria is very, very high, and some of the gates have been opened. So water is now starting to rise in Unity State, particularly in the southern part of Unity State, but it will reach Bentiu, particularly when the rains come. The UN, both the Pakistan Engineering Company from UNMISS and IOM through commercial contractors, has built dikes surrounding areas of population, including the IDP camp, including the UNMISS camp, but also to protect those who moved, the IDPs that moved last year because of the flooding and settled around the town of Bentiu. And there are about 40,000 people there. The challenge will be how much rain is received and whether or not the dikes will be able to keep back the water. So while we were there, we visited the IDP camp, we visited the UNMISS camp, we visited, or we were graciously received by the acting governor. We saw the displaced people in Bentiu from last year's flooding. we were able to visit a UNFPA-sponsored one-stop shop. And the one-stop shop is where victims of sexual violence can go to receive psychosocial support, medical support, and legal advice and legal assistance. We went to a women and girls center where we saw women and girls making different items, including robes, including necklaces, cooking stoves, and the like. And yes, I think within the day that we were there, we were able to see a lot. I think the significant poverty in Bentiu. I think it's difficult for the aid agencies because there is less money. There are increasing demands around the world for that money. From our perspective, when the level of assistance goes down, the level of risk of sexual exploitation and abuse goes up because particularly women and girls resort to unsafe practices in order to feed themselves and feed their families. So we have to be extra vigilant and we have to pay much more attention to sexual exploitation and abuse in these instances to prevent it in the first instance, but then if it happens, to ensure that we address it robustly. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Nazib Palma, you also spent time in Bentiu. What were your impressions on the ground?
Thank you. I think the USG Sounders gave us a comprehensive overview. I would just like to add some thoughts. So, of course, I saw additional vulnerability because of the displacement, because of the environment, the flooding, lack of resources to cook. And this also have a specific impact because we have in the same place the aggressor or the perpetrator, it's more close to the victims because of these circumstances. And we realize that less services are available for victims too. And this is so additional vulnerability. But on the other hand, I saw an engagement of the community. So it was very, I was impressed to see how the community-based complaint mechanisms are working very hard with additional challenges, but collaborating. It's a very important work to encourage victims to bring these cases, to report these cases. And another very positive impression was the safe space for women and girls when confidence can be built and that our trust fund, the UN Trust Fund, support this building with training, with material. So it's an example of a good practices that we must have more cases like this in other places too.
Thank you once again. Still staying with you for a moment, one of the UN's priorities is to put the rights and dignity of victims of sexual violence, exploitation and abuse at the forefront of its prevention and response efforts. Is this happening in South Sudan and what more could be done?
We have been talking about this now. We have a senior victims' rights officer here, and she is fully dedicated to work on this. And she has the support of the mission and other partners too. So it's happening. We need to improve, but we need more resources too. But I would like just to highlight how important it is to have a person fully dedicated to this and with this specialized skills to address. They are the first to have sometimes to have the contact with the victims. They can accompany them. They can hear what are the specific needs. So I think that we have a long way to go, but we are trying to do our best here. And I am here to support the senior victims' rights officer and do my best to fulfill that the rights and the dignity of the victims will be respected.
Thank you again. Mr. Saunders, can you tell us why internal justice is also crucial for the UN, for both staff and victims of sexual exploitation and abuse?
I'll answer the first part of the question in terms of staff members, and then I'll ask ASG Nazib Palma to answer the second part about victims. I think not just in the UN, but I think we live in a very complex and challenging world. And I think access to justice, access to independent, effective justice is crucially important for everybody. And I think UN staff are no exception. I think it's important that UN staff have access to an internal justice system that is informed, that is effective, that is timely, so that any grievances they may have or any misunderstandings they may have with management can be reviewed and a decision can be made. I think the importance of the judge's visit here cannot be underestimated, because I think if you're informed and you understand the context, you can make better decisions. That doesn't just go for judges, that goes for all of us. And I think it really was this week, I think in South Sudan, was very much an eye-opener for the judges. This is the first time this has happened since the establishment of the internal justice system, the new internal justice system, which is nearly 15 years old. And I think we've learned from this visit that this should become part of the induction for all new judges. We chose South Sudan for many different reasons. The context, it's a very challenging context, as I mentioned earlier. We have a peacekeeping operation, a large, complex peacekeeping operation here. We have UN country team. Sexual exploitation and abuse is prevalent everywhere in peacekeeping environments, in humanitarian environments, in development environments, and we have all of those here in South Sudan. But we also have a committed leadership here to this particular issue. We have a strong PSCA task force. We have an NGO community also who are committed to this issue. So I think it was certainly, from my perspective, I think it was time well spent.
Okay, Ms. Palmer, what are your views?
Well, thank you for this opportunity to say that justice is a right that the victim has. Victims has right to justice and accountability. And it's very important, because sometimes to translate a victim in a survivor, we need this strong response. We need this sense of justice. We need this human right value. But more than this, I think that justice can impact in prevention too. So it's essential that the victims can see this one case of sexual exploitation and abuse be translated into justice. And related to our internal justice system, I would like to say that we are working to institutionalize the victim-centered approach in our internal justice system. And what is this? Is to take in consideration the needs, the dignity, and to protect the victims against new trauma during a proceeding in the justice system. So to avoid additional victimization. So that's the essence of the victim-centered approach in the UN justice system. And we have been working with the judges, and we are very happy to say that the judges are supportive to this approach, and they are working on it to keep in mind that if a victim has to testify, to come before the court, they need to be protected against a new trauma, a new victimization.